Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to be part of your forever family. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be able to come here today to worship you in spirit and in truth, to come together to hear you speak to us through your word. And so, Lord, as we turn our hearts and our minds towards the study of your word now, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us open hearts, open minds, to hear the word that you have for us today so that we might be able to receive from you all that you have for us today from your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that all that we do and say today, I pray that all that I do and say today would bring honor and glory to you, and that as we enter into this time, Lord, that you would really just help us to really take a good look into each one of our hearts and to offer ourselves afresh to you today as our act of spiritual worship, so that we might be touched, moved, and inspired, that we might be transformed from within by a whole new way of thinking. Lord Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we thank you that you are here with us. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I first started my preparation for this message, I read over the next section of the book of Acts that we were to dive into for the message today, Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. And as I read it over, immediately in my mind, the first thought that I had was, whoop, I think I'm going to skip this part. Yep, I'm going to skip it because I don't know how this story about Ananias and Sapphira would I be able to really kind of slip it into the theme that we're studying here about new beginnings. You know, because, I mean, when you read over that story, it's kind of like, wow, why is this here? You know? But, so, you know, at that time, so I shifted my thinking to the next section in chapter 5. And I was starting to make all my notes and starting to get right into it. But something inside of me just kind of kept saying to me, you know what? You can't just skip over this section. It was the Holy Spirit was just kind of convicting me, because I have always had this conviction that, you know, I am to preach the full counsel of God. And not just to pick and choose the passages of the scripture that are easier to preach or teach, and to, you know, just kind of pick, you know, think, well, this is relevant or that's not relevant. So, with that reminder, I shifted my focus back to meditating about the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And I simply asked the Spirit to lead me into the truth that he wanted me to share with you today. And immediately, I'm telling you, immediately, In my mind, I remembered something that I hadn't thought about for years. I started to think about an old TV show. Go figure. And this, the name of this TV show, and some of you might remember it if you're of my vintage or a little bit older. The name of the show was Truth or Consequences. And you know that show, how many of you remember that one? Oh my goodness. Too many of you in here. You know who remember that. We gotta do something about that, okay? Get a few more who when I say something like that go, what are you talking about? YouTube it, okay? The Truth or Consequences was the start of the career, just a little bit of trivia for none other than Bob Barker, who went on to fame with that other show, you know, the price is right, come on down, you know. But anyway, this show, for those of you who don't know what Truth or Consequence was all about, it was about, they would go out into the audience and they would select a few audience participants and they would then bring them up on stage and they would ask them a question. And they had to answer the question truthfully, get the right answer, truth, or there would be a consequence. And it was usually some kind of stunt or some kind of thing that would, you know, really cause the person to have to do something they would never, ever do. But they always had a ringer in there, someone who wasn't from the audience, who could do this thing really, really well. So it would make the person look kind of foolish or whatever. And they would be embarrassed or whatever. But then they'd always give them a prize at the end. So everybody loved it. But, you know, when I was thinking about that story or that show, it connected with me for some reason with this story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, because I believe that the tagline for their lives, if you know, if you really stop and think about it, the tagline of their lives would read, I believe, truth or consequences, the tragedy of integrity lost. Think about that for a moment. For those of you who know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, their story does not have a game show ending. They didn't get the consolation prize. The consequences of their not telling the truth was not some entertaining, humorous stunt. The consequences of their wrong answers were deadly. You know, what this story reveals to us is how seriously God the Father views our integrity. Our integrity. And you'll understand what I mean by this as we dig into Ananias and Sapphira's story. For starting in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Well, you know, that's kind of going back to what we talked about last week where Barnabas, remember Barnabas, the son of encouragement? He took, he had a piece of property, he went and sold it, and then he brought it and he laid it at the disciples, at the apostles' feet so that it could be distributed to anyone who had need. So Ananias and Sapphira saw what Brother Barnabas did and they thought, oh, this is great, look at all the attention he's getting. So they thought, well, we'll do the same thing. So they went and they sold a piece of property. And then Luke says, and with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. You know, after reflecting on this passage for a little bit, a phrase started coming to my mind, and I thought, wow, what a lack of integrity. A lack of integrity. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, following the example set for them by Brother Barnabas, decided to give a gift to help with those who were in need. So like Barnabas, they sold a piece of property for a large sum of money. But unlike Barnabas, Ananias, once he had the proceeds from the sale in his hands, went to Sapphira, and with her knowledge and her full consent, decided to keep a portion of the money for themselves. Now, that's no big deal, right? No big deal. Big whoop. You know, it was their money. They could do whatever they wanted with it, right? That would have been no big deal. But here's what went kind of wrong here. Ananias, when he delivered the gift to the apostles, he made a big show of how generous he and his wife were being by selling their property and giving all the proceeds of the sale to those who were in need. And that's the key here. They came and they delivered the gift and they said, this is all the money that we got. So here it is. You know, when I think about their action, there's a name for it. And maybe you've heard this before, or maybe you haven't heard this before. But the name for this kind of action is a perpetrated withhold. A perpetrated withhold. They chose to withhold some of the money purposely. But where it's a perpetrated withhold is that they not only chose to withhold some of the money, but they chose to withhold the truth about the sale of their property. So they were covering over something by not telling the whole truth. A perpetrated withhold. And by so doing, they were putting themselves out of integrity with their word. They were saying one thing and doing another thing. Their words and their actions did not align. Another way of putting it is, they lied. They lied to their brothers and sisters in the church. They lied to the apostles. And most of all, they lied to the Holy Spirit. By pretending to give all the proceeds from the sale, well, holding on to a portion for themselves, they were acting contrary to the stated values of the community of believers. Remember, we talked about that last week. Everyone was in agreement. They were all in one mind that they would hold all of their stuff loosely and they would give to the needs of those around them. Acts 4:32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. So, you know, through their perpetrated withhold, they were saying one thing and doing another. They were claiming to be charitable, but were really robbing from the Lord, from those who could have been helped by a full donation. And ultimately, they were robbing from themselves, as we will see, as they face the consequences of their choices. Now, before we go any further, let me say this about perpetrated withholds. We all do them. They are a very human thing to do. We've all done them in a variety of different ways. You know, in a marriage relationship, you dint the car a little bit, and you come home, and you don't say anything about that, whether it husband or wife or whatever. But or kids do it all the time. You know, don't tell mom and dad this. You know. I'm sure you can think of some of the perpetrated withholds that you've done in your life. You know, it's part of our human nature to go out of integrity with our words and our actions. And you know, another less fancy word for or phrase for perpetrated withhold is sin. Sin. And we all do it. The difference here is that for whatever reason known only to God, this perpetrated withhold by Ananias and Sapphira is recorded by Luke for all of us to consider and to learn from. There's a lesson for us to learn here. You know, the consequences for Ananias and Sapphira were deadly. You know, that this sin, this perpetrated withhold, cost them their lives. You know, in Acts chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, Peter, you know, as Ananias comes to the apostle, Peter holds up a mirror to him, okay, so he can see what's himself. He holds up a mirror to reflect back to him the true motives behind his actions when Peter begins to ask him some questions. Luke says that Peter said to Ananias, "How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourselves some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think that doing such a thing? You've not just lied to human beings, but you've lied to God." You know, as I've, you know, been reflecting on these words that Peter spoke to Ananias that day. You know, Ananias had just come by to drop off the money bag, right? And he thought he was doing a great thing. But as Peter started holding up this mirror to him in these words, you know, all of these questions just started to reveal some things of his heart. And what we see is we get a clearer picture of what was going on in this man's heart, because, you know, Peter's words were at a very deep level, very direct and laser-like in their precision in revealing what was in Ananias' heart. Each one of his questions hit its intended mark, confronting Ananias with his out of integrity with God, with his deceptiveness, his pretentious inauthenticity, and his purposeful sin against the body of Christ, the church, and of God. You know, as I read these questions over that Peter was asking, or these things that Peter was holding up in front of Ananias so that he could see, you know, I cannot hear in Peter's voice the tone of judgment or condemnation. You know, as you read those through it, he's not condemning him. But what I hear is the apostle seeking to bring correction to a brother who has sinned and was in need of spiritual direction leading to restored integrity through repentance. And that's what I hear Peter holding out to Ananias. I hear in these questions Peter's attempt to cause Ananias to reflect on what his deeper motivation was in his actions, and it's an invitation for him to come clean before God. And you would think that hearing that, Ananias would just, okay, I get it, I'm caught. And we're not told if Peter had full awareness of the backstory of the gift in question before he met Ananias, or if the Holy Spirit had just given him a word of knowledge about what was going on. But what we do know is that as the questions continued, it was evident to Peter that this couple had falsified the record about their gift and had secretly embezzled some funds for themselves. And that's what the words there, when it says that Ananias and Sapphira, the Greek word there, the actual meaning of it is not just they withheld some or held some back. The word is even stronger. It means that they embezzled something from God. And so, you know, as Paul or Peter is holding up this mirror to Ananias, confronting him with the truth, it was his hope that Ananias would see the error of his ways and repent. Wasn't so. Ananias didn't say a word. Even though he knew that in repentance, he would find forgiveness through Jesus. You know, John, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us or purify us from all unrighteousness. That's what they believed about Jesus. And his death and his resurrection had brought about that newness of life. And all they had to do was repent of their sins, turn away from their sins. You know, repentance is when we are walking this direction and we stop and we turn around and we start walking in the direction of God. That's what repentance means. It means to turn around. And you'd think that Ananias would have done it, but he didn't. It's not what happened. And you know what happened next is, wow, I mean, it really is actually quite startling. You know, when you read that through, every time I read it through, I just go, whoa. Because Luke records this. He says, when Ananias heard this, he didn't repent, but he fell down and he died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. You know, I'm sure that this was not the outcome that the Apostle Peter had envisioned when he set up the meeting with Ananias. But Ananias' sudden death was a confirmation that Peter's assessment of his heart had been dead on. And it was serious enough to bring about swift judgment from the Lord in the same way that God had dealt with Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, when they had offered unholy fire before the Lord in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Or when Uzzah had tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant when it was being transported by him incorrectly on an ox cart in 2 Samuel 6, verse 7. In both of these cases, it was God who executed swift and deadly judgment on them, immediately striking them down, judging the intents of their hearts. You know, in Ananias' case, the Greek term used to describe his death means he gave up his soul or his breath, indicating that the breath of life was taken out of him by the one who had given him breath in the first place. It was just like, oh. He was gone. His sudden death was a powerful reminder to all those who heard about it that it is God's prerogative to take swift action to preserve the integrity and holiness of his church. God is the one who will root out and expose those who have evil intent, for God alone knows the hearts of his people. You know, when Ananias died so suddenly because of God's judgment, it was necessary, according to Jewish law, that his body be removed and quickly buried so that as to not defile the place where they were meeting. Luke tells us that some of the young men took his body and buried it, and with no mourning, no notification of next of kin, not even his wife Sapphira was notified that he had died. He was buried as someone who had defiled and brought dishonor into the community, much in the way that Achan and his family had been dealt with when he had stolen from the Lord after the Battle of Jericho. Remember that story from the Old Testament? He had kept some of the spoils dedicated to the Lord and buried them under his tent. The impact of his perpetrated withhold had been the disastrous loss of life and the defeat of the whole Israelite army in their next battle at Ai. That's how impactful withholds are, perpetrated withholds are. They can destroy a whole community. When his lack of integrity and his sin was uncovered, Achan and his entire family were put to death because of their complicity with his actions. Aren't you glad we don't live in that, under that kind of rule? But once again, this demonstrates for us the serious impact, not only for ourselves, but for others, when we purposely choose the path that takes us out of integrity with God through our withholds. You know, if Ananias' story about integrity lost and its deadly impact, then Sapphira's story is a powerful lesson for us not to miss out on the opportunity to restore our integrity. You know, because that's really what God wants, right? He wants us, you know, when we sin, you know, and all of us will sin. And when we sin, God wants us to restore our integrity with him, to come back to him, to turn away from that, and to start moving back in his direction. That's what his desire is for us, restoring our integrity with him. In Acts chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, Luke indicates, you know, in the story of Sapphira, what happened next. He says, about 3 hours later, Sapphira, Ananias' wife, came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter asked her a question. He says, tell me, Sapphira, is this the price that you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, that is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Whoa. This story, I mean, it's not a pretty story. You know, when Sapphira came back looking for her husband after his prolonged absence, I don't think she was expecting that when she saw Peter that she would get the third degree of questions from him. She was asking, has anyone seen my husband? He's late for lunch, you know, and he's always back on time for lunch. And she was coming and asking whether anyone had seen him. And Peter asks her this question. She had no idea what had happened to her husband earlier in the day. And as she entered the room, Peter asked her point blank, is the money in this bag the amount of money that you got for the sale of the house, your property? You know, this is the one that Ananias did. Oh, yeah, I recognize that. That's the one that Ananias brought it in this morning. He took it this morning. Did this contain the full amount? She looks at it. You know, this question that Peter was asking her was, as he was holding out, was an opportunity for her to come clean, to take the path that would lead to restored integrity, the owning of her deception, taking personal responsibility for the impact of her actions and repenting of her sins of commission. It was an opportunity for her to move towards forgiveness and restoration. But in that moment, Sapphira had to make her choice. She had to choose honesty and integrity by telling the truth, or to choose deceit and complicity with the sins of her husband, sharing once more in the perpetration of their withhold. You know, there are some moments in our lives. There are some moments in our lives where the choices we make will have severe consequences. This was Sapphira's truth or consequences moment. As Luke recounts the story, you know, it's interesting here too, is that there was absolutely no pause for reflection on the part of Sapphira. No awkward silence before she answered. It was as if she didn't even blink or bat an eyelash. Her response was, "Yep, that was the amount. That's all. It's all there." You know, I'm sure in that moment that all those who were present in the room breathed a collective sigh of disappointment. As Peter spoke and confronted her for her complicity in agreeing to test God in this way, his response to her in that moment was direct, and now it bore a tone of judgment. For God had struck down her husband, and now he made a pronouncement of judgment upon her. His words to her, I would say, were prophetic. You know, in terms of, you know, they were a demonstration of the responsibility, the mantle that Jesus had given to his disciples when he had given them the authority to bind and loose things on earth. Remember that? We talked about that a little while back. You know, where Jesus, when Peter had made the profession of faith, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And then he says, "I give you the keys of the kingdom. What you bind on earth will be bound. What you bind on earth will be bound on earth. It will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I think there's some binding and loosing were going on here, you know? Or not loosing, but binding. He says, "Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out too." Shortly after he spoke these words, Sapphira fell down dead at Peter's feet. You know, Luke brings this story of Ananias and Sapphira to a close with these words. He says, "At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." Well, duh. You know, great fear. I mean, just listening to this story, it's kind of shaking. When we read it, you know, you can just read it as a story, or you can read it as real life. This actually happened. These people were brothers and sisters in this growing church community. They seemed to have their life all together, and then in this act of withhold, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God, they're dead. That's frightening. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. And we might even be thinking today, God doesn't do that kind of thing today. Don't make these things are in here for a reason for us to really take hold of them. You know, as I reflect on this story of Ananias and Sapphira, I see a cautionary tale for us of integrity lost and its impact and the missed opportunity for integrity to be restored. You know, theirs is a story of how a perpetrated withhold can cause such a devastating impact on a relationship between a husband and wife. The community of their friends, their brothers and sisters in the Lord, and with God. You know, when we purposefully withhold from God or from one another, the impact is far-reaching. And there's a life and death consequence to our actions. When we purposefully withhold from God or another person, the impact is far-reaching. In the case of Ananias and Sapphira, the result of their withhold was fatal. God may not always strike us down dead when we perpetrate our withholds, stepping out of integrity with Him, but the result is nonetheless deadening to our souls. In our lives, we may begin to experience breakdowns. Anybody, you know, when you know you're walking in a direction away from God, your life starts to go into breakdown. Our relationships can become strained. Our spiritual fervor may shift from being high gear to low gear. We may become protective and defensive, and in general, our life may become unworkable when we start to move in a direction away from God. And I can say that I've been there. I've done that. And I've worn the T-shirt. I can think back to when my life went out of integrity. Even as a Christian, my life went out of integrity with God. I sinned. And everything started breaking down in my life until I recognized it. Someone held a mirror up to me so that I could see who I was. And I turned and repented and turned my life back around and started walking back in God's direction. See, that's the story here that we're talking about with Ananias and Sapphira. You know, when we're out of integrity with God and others around us in the body, we often try so hard to maintain the facade that we're okay with the path that we've chosen for ourselves, and we don't want to look bad, so we pretend to look good. The problem with all this is by holding on to our sinful withholds, we're not only lying to ourselves and others, we're not being authentic, honest, and transparent with God, who knows everything about us. Every thought, and He weighs the motives of our hearts. You know, the truth is, as much as we try, we cannot hide anything from our all-knowing Creator and Sustainer of all things. We can bury our withholds deep within our tents, as Achan tried to do. We can try to pull an accounting switcheroo or to embezzle funds that were ours in the first place just to, you know, to boost our reputation as Ananias and Sapphira tried to do. But we can even try to perpetrate our withholds in a zillion different ways. But the result will always be the same. Be sure your sins will find you out. God is not fooled, and neither are those closest to us. They always know. They always know when we're out of integrity. We can't hide the motives of our hearts, not even for a moment. So what more is there to discover from this cautionary tale? You know, when confronted by the truth of our lack of integrity and someone holds up a mirror for us to see ourselves for who we are being in that moment, don't miss out on the opportunity to drop the withhold, let go of the lie, confess, repent, and be restored to integrity. The state of being whole, complete, not lacking anything. That's what our state of being in Christ is. But when we go out of integrity, there's something missing. You know, the place, you know, and that place, that what's something missing is that place of wholeness in our relationship with God, openness and transparency, where we are resting in His restorative love, abiding in Him, the place of completeness, where nothing is withheld, everything is in the open, everything has been said that needs to be said, nothing more needs to be said, not only with God, but with those who are around us, who have been impacted by our withholds. You know, that's what complete repentance is. Putting into practice what James teaches us in James chapter 5, verse 16, where he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You know, there's healing in being able to talk with those who are trusted others in our lives, so that we confess those things that are weighing us down, burdening us. You know, the sad truth about this story that we've just been looking at today is that it did not need to end the way it did. Ananias and Sapphira didn't need to die that day because of their withholds. They could have chosen a different path and by so doing lived up to their names. It's really interesting. Names mean a lot in the scriptures. You know what Ananias means? Ananias means the Lord is gracious. Do you know what Sapphira means? It means beautiful. Beautiful. You know, they could have made the choice to live in the beauty and in the grace of God's forgiveness with integrity of heart and purpose, and they could have continued serving the Lord and others. You know, just because they chose not to live with integrity doesn't mean that we can't learn a valuable lesson from their tragic folly and choose for ourselves the way of integrity, the path of inner holiness and peace with God. Choosing repentance when we sin. You know, I can't say for sure, you know, but when I read 1 Peter 1:13-23, you know, it sounds to me like Peter is reflecting on his experience with Ananias and Sapphira. And he's sharing with us the life lessons that he learned from that tragic tale. And I'm going to read this short passage again. Part of it was read earlier this morning. But, you know, it puts it all into context for us when we read it. Because if you know the backstory of Ananias and Sapphira, this is the lesson that Peter learned and that he shared with the church, and I'm sharing with you today as the lesson for us to take hold of and to live by. Listen to what he says. Peter says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. May each one of us take to heart the lessons learned from this truth or consequences tale of Ananias and Sapphira. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the way that you speak to us, the way your Spirit speaks to our hearts. Lord, just reminding us of how important it is for us to live lives of holiness. And holiness is really integrity, being whole and complete in you. And living according to the word that you've given to us, living according to the words that we speak, being true and faithful. Lord Jesus, I just pray today that each one of us would really look at ourselves in the mirror today. And if there has been any withhold within our relationships, within our families, if there's been withholds that have been causing breakdowns within friends or relationships with neighbors, Lord, help us to really take to heart these things. If there have been withholds that we have had with you, Lord Jesus, we've been walking in ways that we know are not right. Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to hear these words today. Take them to heart. Turn our hearts around so that we can walk toward you with righteousness and peace with you. Lord Jesus, deal with the sins of our hearts. We know that you have already covered those sins, Lord Jesus. Help us to live freely in you. For we know that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and you are just and you will forgive our sins and you will cleanse us. You will continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, help us to live in this way today. In Jesus' name, amen.